Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. HagmanReport.com, that's where to go to find all of the information that you need. Above the content is a banner. It takes you to the video and audio assets, the shows of each day. That's HagmanReport.com. Please bookmark that website. And when you do click on that banner for video and audio, it takes you to each daily show. You click on the day that you would like to watch and listen to. It brings up the video automatically. You click on that or click through it, and it'll take you to Rumble. All right? And I would like everyone listening and anyone who watches to subscribe to us on Rumble. We're also on Brighteon. That's HagmanReport.com. Also HagmanStore.com for gourmet coffee, three different types. You know, what we like to do, rather than have 10 different kinds and such, you have three and you do them well. Detective's Choice is hyper-caffeinated. You've got Patriot and Revolution blends. You've got your choice of whole bean, ground, or K-Cup. Detective's Choice is my go-to for hyper-caffeinated coffee because, well, I'd like to be hyper-caffeinated. And I'll tell you something else. If you've got teenagers and you need to interview or interrogate them, you need that extra shot of caffeine because, you know, they're teenagers. All right. America held hostage. It is Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021, and it's America held hostage day number 42 by the Biden communist regime, the resident of the White House due to voter and election fraud. It is day number 54 of the communist capital encirclement, Camp Pelosi, Fort Pelosi, right? And about that, we have a video clip to show you. I think every American needs to see this. If you haven't been to Washington, D.C., I remember when I was a child. The access to buildings in Washington, D.C., when I was a young person, it was unbelievable in terms of how you could drive up to the Capitol, how you could drive up to even to the Pentagon somewhat. Now, no. Papers, please. If you want to get inside the communist compound of Fort Pelosi. And again, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't know how many people have seen this. For the benefit of those who have not seen it, and even if you have seen it, take another look at it and look at it and listen to it again. Before I do that, I want to bring Randy Taylor, co-host, co-conspirator in this broadcast. I shouldn't say co-conspirator because people are going to take that seriously. Randy, how are you, sir?
I was going to say on the paperwork when they come and get us, co-conspirator.
We are living in a fascist America today. Christopher Wray testified before Congress. And the answer to why the fortification around the Capitol, why, has not been sufficiently answered. They're not telling us what intelligence they have to fortify the Capitol in the manner that they have. And walls are okay for them in D.C., not on the southern border.
Right.
So that's why this is extremely important. But the fact that Wray has not said word one, except of the threat of domestic terrorism, which means Randy Taylor, myself, and each one of you.
Yeah. Well, remember the chief of police there in D.C. said that someone was going to attack during the supposed Biden State of the Union address,
which
still hasn't happened. It still hasn't been scheduled.
Right. And to that end, or on that note, you'll notice that Biden hasn't had a news conference, press conference in 42 days.
No. And truth be known, we already know the State of the Union. It's slipping into the precipice of the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look, when you guys, when Doug's going to play this video here in a moment, or Eric will play, please note how permanent these armaments look. Okay, it's not this doesn't look temporary at all. That's the one thing that just jumped out at me this morning when I was watching the video. You know, the guard shack and other things are looking really, really, really permanent. And I don't know. It's concerning. It's very concerning. That is our capital. We should be able to come and go as we please. Where I think that they're to the point now of using the patriots and conservatives as scapegoats for something else. I think there's something else going on. Probably, you know, these clowns could have a false flag, blame it on Iran or someone in Syria and ISIS, perhaps, because ISIS is back now. I mean, everybody's back in business. Everybody is back in business in the short period of time that Biden's been in office. And we don't say we didn't tell you, because we told you this was going to happen, that we're going back into Syria. ISIS would resurge. I'm telling you, things are back to normal for the Democrats. So, but why watch this video that Doug's going to put up. Yeah. Watch it closely.
Eric the Tech, go ahead and let's play this. And again, please pay careful attention to both the words and the images. If you're listening to this, by the way, on the radio, please go back and watch this. The link to this specific video will be in the program description box, but go ahead, play it.
Hi guys, I am going on a trip to the border wall. We're here at Fort Pelosi in the District of Communism, so I wanted to take a little field trip and show you guys the border wall and show you my mask. Unfortunately, these are mandated, although they shouldn't be mandated, but this is my mask today. Yes. This mask is about as useless as Joe Biden. So we're going to take it off. Okay, now we're outside. I'm going to take you guys down and show you the border wall that you pay for with your hard-earned tax dollars. And it is all the way around the Capitol. And but you don't get one. You don't get one at the southern border. No, Joe Biden's immigration plan is basically going to turn the entire country into a sanctuary country for all the illegals that want to invade America. Yes. As a matter of fact, just learned today that we are now up to over 4,000 entries every single day. When we had President Trump in office, he had it down to, I think it was around 1,000 on average. But now we're up to 4,000. I'm sure that number will increase. Okay, so I'm going to turn it around so you guys can see the very important border wall that you don't get as an American citizen, but it has to be here for the Capitol. All righty. And here we go. This is the entrance to the border where we have a fence, a gate with razor wire where people are stopped. And then, now see, I'm on the inside because I'm a member of Congress, but the American people are not allowed to come in. But this is what it looks like. It's a very lovely, sturdy border wall. They're doing some construction up this way. But we'll take a little walk. We'll take a little walk along the border wall here. And you all can see what your money's paying for. It's unfortunate that the American people did not get a border wall and did not get the National Guard protection over the past year with the Antifa riots, BLM riots, and all the devastation from the real domestic terrorists in the United States of America, which are Antifa and BLM. The media gave them protection and called them peaceful protesters. Democrat elected members shared their bail bond links and help get them out of jail after they committed crimes, burned businesses, attacked police officers, attacked police precincts, took them over, attacked federal courthouses, pulled down monuments and statues, and they gave them protection, but they didn't give you guys any protection. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yeah, but that's how Democrats feel. And if you're a Trump supporter, you're actually labeled a domestic terrorist now because you're a Trump supporter and you believe in America First policies and you're grateful for all the wonderful things that President Trump did to fight for the American people. But you know what? The Democrats and the media want to label you domestic terrorist. And that is a real shame. But this is what it's like at Fort Pelosi in Washington, D.C., the District of Communism, where your hard-earned tax dollars have this wall up and keep you out, where you cannot go talk to your representative, you can't go talk to your senator, and you can't enter the Capitol. You are kept out, the American people, the American taxpayers. But this is what it looks like, and it goes all the way down and all the way around the entire Capitol complex. So I wanted to walk outside today because I've really had enough. I'm pretty disgusted that we're actually working and voting on a bill called the Equality Act that completely violates women's rights and religious freedoms. And what it does is it puts transgender rights above everyone. And so if you're a biological male that wants to call yourself a woman, if the Equality Act passes, guess what? You get to go in every single girl's bathroom. You have the right to play on girls' sports teams. You have the right to go and sleep in a battered women's shelter. You can go in and into a women's drug rehab. If you're in prison, you can sleep in there and have a woman for your cellmate. And you get all these rights. But if you're a little girl and you're trying to earn a scholarship to college, guess what happens, everybody? You're going to be competing against boys that want to call themselves girls, and these biological boys will really make it hard for you to earn your college scholarship. And, you know, if you're a girl and you don't want boys in your bathroom because you feel like it's an invasion of your privacy, or if you're a mom and dad and you don't want boys in your daughter's bathrooms, guess what? You won't have the right to complain because that'll be called discrimination, and you'll be in the wrong. See, you'll be the one in the wrong, but not the boy calling himself a girl. He'll be in the right because he'll have more rights than you and everyone. And if you're a Christian like me and you believe that God created male and female and you only believe in two genders and you're against this kind of thing, well, let me explain to you what happens. You don't have protection for your religious freedoms in the United States of America that was founded by people that wanted a country where they could protect their religious rights. So go figure that one out. But this is where we are as a nation, and I'm pretty sick about it. As a matter of fact, I'm really disgusted and sick about it. You see, I don't believe in discrimination. I'm grateful to be an American, and I think we're all equal. And I don't think we need to create laws that completely violate other people's rights, like my rights, my daughter's rights, business owners' rights, doctors and nurses' rights, and religious rights. And but somehow that's what we're doing. And let me explain something to you. No one's talking about it. The media isn't talking about it. Hardly anyone is talking about it. So that's kind of got my stomach in a knot today, and I'm pretty disgusted. And so I decided to go on a little walk and come out here. And guess what? When I walk outside, I got to walk out and see this right here in front of me. See this? The border wall. The border wall with all the razor wire, because this is what is completely wrapped around the Capitol building because some stupid people decided to attack the Capitol. Guess what? That has nothing to do with President Trump, has nothing to do with Republicans in Congress, it has everything to do with stupid people that should have never done that. So no different than Antifa and BLM. But you know what? That's the big deal. They make a big issue over Antifa and BLM, and they don't really care one single thing about you or anything else. They just care about making it out that Trump supporters and conservatives and Republicans are domestic terrorists, even though we all know the truth because we lived through it for the past year. So just wanted to come on here and take a little walk and express my thoughts and feelings, because apparently I'm one of the few people that actually does that in Congress, which I think is really sad. So share this video. Please let them know what's going on. We have to vote on the Equality Act tomorrow. We've been fighting about it all day long today. And then we'll be talking about the budget. I didn't even talk about the budget, which is another $1.9 trillion in spending. We have $1 trillion set aside, and $1 trillion set aside that has not been spent. And that is just sitting there. But somehow they want to spend another $1.9 trillion. And less than 9% of this $1.9 trillion does anything for COVID relief. Less than 9%. So that's what's going on here in the Democrat, tyrannical, controlled, communist-controlled country of ours. Just wanted to let you know. So here's another view of the beautiful border wall that goes around the Capitol that keeps the American people out. And you get nothing like this at the southern border, because Joe Biden's immigration plan makes America a sanctuary country for illegals, but not for Americans. Okay, guys, share the video, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
And, of course, the Equality Act that she referenced passed, that video was taken last week, but you get the idea. Randi Taylor,
I absolutely love her.
I do too.
And I wish we had more Marjorie Taylor Greens.
She's got more testosterone and more cojones than many of the men in the Congress. I'll tell you that. But
I would go as far as to say almost actually all the men. Really, I mean, yeah. she comes right out and says it like it is. Yep. And they are not going to stop until they destroy her.
You're exactly right.
Oh, I'm serious. That poor woman has to do everything by the book 24 hours a day. I guarantee they're following her 24 hours a day, just waiting. They're going to create an incident to make her look bad. Just mark my words. Everyone out there, mark my words. The media is all over her. The pundits, the talking heads, they are just beating up on this woman. And I love her.
I believe, and this is what I'm hearing, and I don't take this to the bank, but this is what I'm hearing. As the grilling of Ray continues and the domestic terrorist bill, which is coming, you're going to see a domestic terrorism bill be introduced and passed, okay? Mark my words on this. There will be information that
using the sixth.
Yes.
I called it yesterday, Pandora's box.
Correct.
Because that's what it's the vehicle.
Right. And so Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to be named along with Lauren Boebert, as facilitators of that incident on the 6th. I'm not going to call it an insurrection. That was not an insurrection.
No.
You know, so, but okay, so you're right with her. And she, Marjorie Taylor Greene was also the woman, who put up the, there's two genders, male and female, on her office wall. Okay. Which we talked about, I think, last week. So the video that you just saw, Randi Taylor, obviously, it's like the green zone in Baghdad was
actually a little more fortified, because if you look, those fence plates are actually bolted down.
Yeah, true.
They're not. A lot of times they're really hard base, really wide, heavy base plates. I'm talking 1-inch steel, which is a considerable amount of weight to hold that up. These things are bolted down, and they're expecting, if you look, and from our years in counterterrorism, they're expecting the possibility of a VBID, vehicle-borne improvised explosive device. Look at what do you call those barriers? What are the concrete ones?
There's a specific
name for them.
Yeah.
But you see those, and they're staggered. We're seeing, just like you said, the green zone. That looks like a normal checkpoint anywhere in Iraq or Afghanistan, like a background around the airbase. I mean, anywhere. That's what they're set up for. There's more going on here than meets the eye.
Yes.
There's something else that they're either looking to blame or that they're going to use as an excuse. I smell false flag. I certainly smell it because we're trying to do another, infringement on rights with this, the Second Amendment. They're tabling some more legislation.
Correct.
And whenever they start talking, like, guys, go back and look, just through the years, every time they do something, there's a false flag, and then there's another infringement on the rights. They use these false flags, and once again, it's for your own safety. We're doing this for your safety. And you cannot surrender your liberties to gain freedom. You can't do it. You cannot do it.
You'll end up with a
Yes, exactly. You cannot do it. I worry for this woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I personally wish I was in charge of her security. She is a threat to them.
Yes.
And I want you guys, and a lot of people, Doug probably remembers this because we discussed it at the time. Doug and I had just met. But back in 2002, there was a big vote coming up. And there was a deciding vote, much like we have in the Senate today, where it's pretty much tied and one person can change history. Paul David Wellstone, this is October 25th, 2002.
Yep.
Okay. Politician who represented Minnesota in the United States Senate.
Yep.
Okay. They were getting ready to vote on something. He was going to fly to D.C., and they were afraid that he was going to side with the other team. Remember all the discussion about that. Anybody that was around remembers this. That man died in a plane crash. Swept under the rug. He got about as honorable a mention as if your neighbor's dog got run over by a car.
You're right. It was October 25th, 2002.
Let me tell you how they operate. This is how they operate. And people like this young lady, and I call her young because she's younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
She's wise beyond her years. But these people, they put themselves in danger for us. She's not stupid. She knows that she's walking a fine line. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that these Democrats and these people with the global cabal and the New World Order, if you think they haven't eliminated people to further their agenda, you're an idiot. I'm telling you, having worked alongside of these people, I know how these people operate. Things happen. And that's you heard the term that, I can't say it on the air. Happens. It happens. And with the control they have over the media, that's the exposure it gets. So if something happened to her tomorrow, she'd get honorable mention and they'd move right along. Pray for this woman. Pray for this woman. Everybody out there that's hearing my voice right now, I want you to stop for 1 second and I want you to pray for her. Then I want you to do it at dinner. I want you to do it before you go to bed. And I want you to do it every day. Pull her. Everybody's got a prayer list. Please. Get her on it. Okay? She's a tough cookie, but she's almost by herself. And any person alone is easy prey. I wish I was a multimillionaire. I would offer her more security. I'm concerned. Something's been bothering me about this for a while now.
And I think we've, I don't want to I don't want to go too far into the weeds on this, but, you know, you hear and see chatter on message boards and forums, and there's a lot of hatred toward her. And I've got to tell you, it's visceral and it's deep. And it's not coming just from the left. It's coming from the right. It's any neocon, any rhino, and any progressive. And by the way, Paul Wellstone, for those who will take issue with what you're saying, look, we know that he was a progressive back in 02. We understand that, okay? A flaming progressive, Wellstone was. But there was just take the crash by itself. When you have FBI agents that are at the crash site within under an hour, okay, concurrent with the local officials, you know, finding the crash site, you've got to ask yourself some questions. But aside from that, yeah,
they responded to that as fast as they responded to the Oklahoma City bombing. I mean, it was like,
yep,
ATF was like around the corner or something. It's like, where did these guys come from?
Exactly, and there were a couple of other. Yes.
Unless you're in tune, you don't notice these things. And I've known that man sitting there across the screen from me for about 20 years now. And we see a lot of the same things. I think that's why we get along so good and why we're such good friends. We see things the same way.
Yeah.
And we've unfortunately have been exposed to things the same way. We've seen the hypocrisy of the U.S. government. And we can call it that. We've earned the right to call it that. We've seen it. We know. We could sit down and tell you stories, make your head spin. We're not going to do it today. We're not going to waste your time. Well, we're telling you.
Well, okay. You know, I think really the only thing that needs to be said today is the man on the man to my right, or maybe your left. I don't know. The man on the other side of the screen, you know, when he picked up the phone and said, hey, there's going to be a bombing at, you know, such and such a place and, you know, scheduled to go off at 1 o'clock local time, you could take that to the bank. And unfortunately, you know, I've seen that information, even though it's provided hours, sometimes days in advance, sloughed off by the FBI. And it makes no sense.
This man and I were sitting at his home the day before the London attacks. And we had the guts to post it. We don't do that.
Yeah.
And we thought, I was sitting at his home with him in his office. We called the London attacks.
The next day. Yep.
The next day. Because we could see all the signs. We could see the indicators.
That's right.
Yep.
I remember that, and it was just absolutely amazing.
Boy, did we catch crap over what did we catch crap over that one? How could you know? How could you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, how about doing your homework, your research, and actually following up on some things?
And you know, yeah, exactly. And so just to bring this kind of around to what we just saw with the Capitol, you know, Randy Taylor, I'm telling you, there's something that's really amiss here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just like those London attacks, I'm telling you,
somehow, some way, they are going to use this to take more rights away from us. They're going to use this to start grabbing guns. They're going to use this to grab people and throw them. Listen, we've got, and you folks have to remember this, there are tons and tons and tons of FEMA camps all over the United States sitting there empty.
Yep.
Okay? Those aren't for, you know, hurricane victims. Folks, something is in the wind, and this has been brewing seriously brewing since 9/11.
Yes.
Seriously brewing since 9/11. Sure, there were little things before that, but this, what I'm looking at as far as what is going to affect us. And I'm concerned with people being put in camps. It is right around the corner. It is right around the corner. And we are, this government, you know what? Biden is handing out executive orders. He's like a little child throwing a tantrum and just going berserk. And they're going to do all these things. And you know he's not going to be in office long. Then Kamala Harris moves forward. Now, everybody's under the impression that Nancy Pelosi then would be the next in line. That's not how that works. Okay?
Explain. People are under that impression. And I think they need to know. So go ahead and explain that.
And if you look at the 25th Amendment, and I think it's Section 2, Proctor could tell us more about it. But anyway, I was doing some research on it last night. What would happen at that point if, let's say, Biden is removed or taken out by Congress, whatever? I think it'll leave voluntarily. However, Kamala Harris, as vice president, would move into that spot of president. However, that doesn't automatically move Nancy Pelosi forward on the chessboard like everyone thinks it does. What would happen is Kamala Harris would make a recommendation for a vice president. That recommendation then has to be passed by both Congress and Senate. So it's not like Biden walks out the door, Kamala moves in his office, and Pelosi moves right into the VP spot. Please, folks, that's not how it works. And I know even in the past, I mistakenly thought that's how it was. It's not. Okay, I did a lot of research on this last night specifically.
There is continuity of government policy, but that's not what we're talking about here.
That's like if the president and vice president went down in a plane crash.
Right.
You know, what is it? The lone survivor. It's that type of thing. Okay. Pelosi then at that time would be, that's an emergency situation. That is not what we're talking about here. Okay. The person that they would, that Kamala Harris would recommend would go through hearings just like anybody else is being approved for a spot in the government, just like this, the Justice Department guy, DOJ or whatever, the clown last week, the one that promised, you know, transparency.
Which one?
If they say it three times in less than 5 minutes, you know they're lying. But anyway, I want to throw that out there so everybody understands that. Okay, because that is a misconception that's been floating around, and I even fell prey to it. But sure. That's just another reason to, you know, pick up books and read them, do your research, because that's it. Now, that's not saying Pelosi's powerless, because she's not. Kamala Harris could recommend Pelosi for vice president. You see what I'm saying? But it isn't just walk in the door. It doesn't work like that. Okay. And what Doug said is the main thing to remember. That is a contingency, a continuity of government, what's been described and what people have automatically assumed. Once again, don't assume. All right. So anyway, we can put that out of our heads. My concern would be, in fact, I'm working on an article about this, which will be posted on the website this week. My concern would be, who would Kamala Harris recommend as vice president?
Despite the fact that Kamala Harris is not constitutionally eligible.
Yeah, eligible. She's not even supposed to be there.
But no one really cares anymore, because the Constitution really doesn't appear to be germane to anything.
And they went into this race, okay, for the presidency, knowing full well that Joe Biden was not going to serve on his term.
Right.
Okay, so there's already, we'll call it a bait and switch. That's what I'll refer to it in the article. It's bait and switch.
Yep.
It is. It's a political sleight of hand, because they want hardliners in these spots. So they brought Biden in, who's still considered kind of middle of the road. What's a good word for that? Centrist.
Right.
He's not that hardcore left progressive. He's a centrist. And this is what's weird about the Democratic Party. Okay. It's not the Democrats. They're Democratic, right? Anyway, you've got your centrist, which is Biden. Then you've got Pelosi, who's kind of in the middle. And then you've got your really hard left over here. Your Ilhan Omars and the really whack jobs. The ones that, you know, want to come and take your guns tomorrow. So there's the party, and just like the right, just like our party, the Republican Party, it's fragmented, it's fractured, it's also very layered. You see what I'm saying? Yep. That's where Trump had all his trouble. Just like Biden, if he was to serve out his presidency, it would be a miserable presidency. I would, if I was Joe Biden, I would want nothing more than to vacate the White House right now, personally. Because he's got his hands full. He doesn't know it.
He doesn't. Yeah, I'm not sure he knows where he's at.
Nobody's told him.
Have you? Okay, you know, there are a lot of oddities. Aside from the Capitol fencing, which is really more fortified than the southern border, there's oddities that people are talking about with respect to lights going out, you know, lights out at the White House. Look, I get the fact that, I understand, okay, that it's not necessarily unique. What is unique is the, timing, the, confluence of events. And it's almost like lights out, no one's home. You know what I'm saying?
In more ways than one, sir.
Right. Well, that's very true. And by the way, for those people who are talking or thinking about the vice presidency, with the elevation, let's say Biden out, think Gerald Ford, who took over for Nixon, I think it was August 9th of 1974. Well, he nominated, of all people, Nelson Rockefeller. I think it was like 2 weeks later. I don't know. It was a period of time later. So we didn't, for a while, we had no vice president.
Isn't there a 25-day clause in there somewhere or something that the president needs to fit or not fit or it's gonna if he's out of the position, it gives him time to resume the position. That's in a case like of an injury or something. I think there's like a 25.
I don't know.
I'm the wrong guy to ask. I'm not.
But I do know that at the time, because I remember this, because I was paying attention. Ford also considered for nomination Rumsfeld and, of all people, George H.W. Bush at the time. Folks, you can look that up. Okay. Yet Nelson Rockefeller got it, but that's the story for another day. But there's a lot of oddities going on, and there's a lot of hopium.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, we have to remember with the legislative houses as they sit now, these people are making rules as they go.
Yes.
So we really, I mean, what I just told you has been par for the course. That's what the Constitution says. That's what the precedents that have been set in history. That doesn't mean that these clowns won't pull something. And people, you got to remember, do not think for one second that Barack Hussein Obama is out of... I'm not saying taking a position. He is running a shadow government.
Yes.
And if you can't see that just by what you just witnessed, as far as people being put into office, I mean, it's like he pulled out a book, okay, from 2016, dusted it off, and Trump said, okay, you there, you there, you there, you there, you there. It looks like Obama's administration. Mm-hmm. Different names, but the same type of people, where it's not about being qualified for the jobs. It's what color are you? What's your gender? Do you have a penis? Do you not have a penis? Do you sport both? You know, do you claim to have the other? You see what I'm saying? Like that freak in the health department. I'm seeing things that I would have never thought I would see in my life.
Well, exactly. You've got
it's like we're trying to be European and please some freaky. I don't even know how to describe it.
It's a good. That's a good description. You know.
Doug, I don't know. I don't know how to even really put it into words. But I lay there at night and I look at the ceiling, and I think, what the hell did I just see today?
Exactly.
And when my daughter, she comes to me, Dad, and I almost dread the questions now. Dad, I was watching TV. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. Do I have an answer for this? And I have to think long and hard and remember I'm a Christian father before I answer. Mm. And I'm angry. I'm very angry because the children that I know and their friends are in a dark place right now.
That's
and I'm very, I am very in tune with my kid. I mean, like that. Okay. Dark place. And it's because of the government. They see no future.
And how can they with this in the sense?
Stop and think about that. A preteen that sees no future. That's a disaster.
And you know, Biden, when I say Biden, I'm not talking Biden, just the man Biden, but the team. Because the presidency is a team of individuals, not just one person, although one person's a figurehead. But in this case, the shadow government, which, by the way, I find it ironic that the left is saying that President Trump is running a shadow government from Mar-a-Lago, making that accusation.
But Doug, just to interrupt really quick, yeah. Isn't everything they've accused Trump of and the Republicans the last 4 years exactly what they're doing?
It's projection. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Yeah. But, you know, Biden taking Dr. Seuss, for example, out because it lacks diversity and inclusion. You know, you got to be kidding me. Okay. When Donald Trump, of course, wrote of, back, I think 2 or 3 years ago, wrote about the author, about how the books brought so much joy and, called the author the an icon of literature and such. So anyway, you're seeing everything ripped down. And you mentioned that freak of nature, science denier. You know, and Marjorie Taylor Greene spoke of the Equality Act. The Equality Act has ramifications far beyond anything that we're seeing. And we also have to talk about H.R. 1, which is the redoing of the Voting Act, which is coming up. And also the gun registration, gun laws that are going to be signed into law, you know, taking effect. So all of this is working. You know, and we talked yesterday really about the Great Reset. I thought yesterday's program, and folks, if you didn't hear the first hour, was it the first, or if you didn't hear the entire program.
Both hours. That's fantastic.
Actually, it was. Go back and listen because this is all part of this Great Reset. And I think for that Great Reset to happen, you've got to have one or more series of things to happen, to really solidify the plans that are in place for the World Economic Forum and mm-hmm. the Rockefellers, the Rothschild, the
Davos,
of Davos, yeah. So, yeah,
yeah, and we were talking about how this COVID-19 has been the perfect vehicle for this treachery. Yeah. Because look at everything this has affected, and take the COVID-19. Let's just drive that one right down the center of the road. You've got your 2030, your UN 2030 agenda. Okay. When this right here is helping facilitate all these different things that we're talking about, it makes a pit stop at every one of them. They're all feeding off of each other. And this is scary, but if you put all the pieces in place, and this is how ballsy these people are, they actually post the stuff.
Well,
go to the UN, go to the UN website, look up the 2030 agenda. You explain to me, what does mass immigration and climate change have to do with each other? Help me out with that. Help me out. But this is part of it. Okay. This Great Reset is tied into this. COVID, they couldn't proceed with any of these plans if President Trump had pulled a second term in office.
Precisely, which is, thank you.
Thank you.
You're exactly right. And this is why you can't get, the Supreme Court, the scrotum of the, SCOTUS, did I say scrotum? Maybe that's fine.
That's them.
That was intentional, by the way. That's why they won't even hear the Pennsylvania arguments. Or any of the voting irregularities.
Yeah, and I don't know any state for that matter. Overwhelming evidence. If voting fraud was a murder, there's enough evidence to put somebody away for several life sentences.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that because at what point you've got people on the right. Even on the right saying, well, let's move on. We have to look forward to 2024. So I could kill somebody. Okay. And hey, you know what? The guy's dead. So let's move on. Or mm-hmm. I can rob a bank and get away. I got away. I've been on the run for 2 weeks. Okay.
Trump said it. I could shoot somebody out in the middle of the street.
Oh, that's, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. I mean,
context, but yes.
Absolutely different context, but the same meaning.
Yeah.
It's a crime if we want it to be a crime.
And that's you it. Know? Yeah,
pedophilia is only bad if senators and congressmen aren't doing it. You see what I'm saying? If the elite aren't doing it. If it's the guy down on the corner that's by the school and he diddled somebody, well, they're going to put that guy away for seven life sentences. But if it's the elite and they're having an orgy on Epstein Island, nobody cares.
That's right. And that's one of the things, Randy Taylor, that I, and folks, I found very interesting in going over these executive orders. What was undone in the first spate of executive orders was, in fact, the going after the child predators, human and child sex trafficking. It was undone by Biden mm-hmm. in the first yes. initial executive orders.
I'm concerned for he's not a friend. He's someone I respect greatly, Craig Sawyer.
Yeah.
He's been very quiet lately. I just imagine that his world is becoming more difficult. You know, I mean, that's a man out there on a mission. And God bless him.
Yeah,
you know, he's out there protecting our children, you know, your children,
he's
your
grandchildren. Yeah.
And you know, now that Biden's in office and the way he's unraveling what, because Trump was absolutely 110%, 150% against the child trafficking. That was one of the motivating factors of putting that wall up.
That's
people
right.
don't seem to get it. This isn't about Mexicans and votes. This is child trafficking. These are armed shipments. This is national security of the United States. Okay. The bad guys, I guarantee, and she just told you, Marjorie Taylor Greene, we got 4,000 entries now, illegal entries a day, where we were down to about 1,000. That's significant, 75% cut. Now we've got a 400% increase. I'm sorry, 4%. No, 400%. That's a 400% increase. Think about that. Child traffickers, the drugs. So if they're not raping your children, they're going to be killing your children with drugs. People, things are out of hand. Once again, we are creating the monster. It's like 9/11. The United States, after 9/11, we had to have everything. You had intelligence, you know, this, that, boom, the police apparatus taking away your rights, boom, 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 boom. We're going right back to that. We are going right back to it. We're going right back to being in countries we shouldn't be in. Americans, I'm going to bet an American took a bullet today in Syria. Sound mad about it. Why? Because it's business as usual for the Democrats.
Yep.
And this, it used to be Democrats were against war. Now they fully support it. Now they thrive on it. So it shows you the fallacy of the Democrat Party. This is, things are out of hand, folks. That's all I'm saying. And listen, we've got a lot of work ahead of us. I know we're running, are we running low on time here, Doug?
No, we're okay.
Okay. But
our second hour guest, Standale. Folks, just for those people who tune in to Standale, our second hour guest, Standale, is having some issues on his
end. Okay, well,
so
cool.
We're going to continue.
We're going to keep riding this horse, man.
Yeah. And you know, cool. you mentioned something about child trafficking. Okay, right now, I'll just say this. You mentioned Craig Sawyer. And, of course, you know that, folks, we work with Craig Sawyer and, Russ Dizdar. When I say work, maybe that's a stretch
No, you fully support them and that probably the coffee sales.
Right. But we do work with, Russ's teams. And I'm going to tell you right now, the uptick in child trafficking, is incredible. And when I say uptick, I'm talking about since, the beginning of the year. Now, there's one other aspect to this. Andrew Torba had mentioned something, and people made this big deal about it, you know, when Gab was taken down, about the tranny demons that it took down Gab. All right. One thing that he didn't, and Randy, this is something that people are not really catching, and folks, you really have to read between the lines. You've got child pornography. You've got predators on social networks, Twitter, Facebook. They're there. Now, if I say they're allowed to be there, I don't know if they're allowed to be there, but they're there. And they use these social networks as vehicles, okay, to trade and traffic in children. This is a big part about children, and I'm going to be really careful what I say here, but we're not talking just about trafficking. You're talking about things that are beyond comprehension worse than trafficking. If you can,
go ahead. So, tell them. It's when you say trafficking, we say, "What are you trafficking the children for?" Well, and I'll go ahead and run with it. They take these children, they rape them. Some of them are bought just simply so they can torture and kill them.
Yeah.
Okay. They treat these children worse than you can imagine. And this is a depravity that's been around for forever. It's just, it's become very easy. There's literally in the United States, well over 1 million children a year just simply disappear. Disappear. You don't hear about it. You know, oh, yeah, we were looking for Susie last night, and they called off the search. Okay? Then the problem is we have children coming in from other countries that are brought in here. Do you know right now, and you don't even think about this, there's children locked in rooms and basements that are there simply for sexual pleasure.
Who have offspring.
Stop and think about this. Yep. Now, this isn't just something in the Hollywood movies. This is something that, as a parent, you would kill somebody over.
In a heartbeat.
It's happening every day. It could be happening on your street. You don't know it. They buy children for as little as $1,000. They own them. They own them. And they take these little girls and little boys, and they abuse them. They have their friends come over and abuse them. There is more sexual depravity in this country than you would ever imagine. You think you hear about it on the news? You don't hear anything. You're not hearing anything. You're not hearing a fraction of it. Okay? It's overwhelming, in my opinion, in many ways, worse than the drug problem. And I'll tell you why. Drug users are voluntary. They make their own decisions. I want to be a drug addict. I want to use drugs. Okay? These children don't get that say-so. They don't go, hey, I want to be sexually abused today. I want to be raped with a broom handle. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
You don't. Locked in a basement, chained to a wall or a post. sleeping in filth, raped repeatedly, fed if somebody gets around to it. And if they die, guess what? They just throw them off on the side of the road somewhere.
Or even worse.
It's a missing, right. It's a missing child. Nobody even knows. They're looking for that child in Venezuela. They're looking for that child somewhere else, the other end of the country, a European country. This flow, and we're not talking about children so much coming into the U.S. We're talking about our kids going out. And being farmed all over the world. Okay. And I'll tell you another reason they like that southern border open is for the drug flow and the drug flow that is being fed by the United States. Because everywhere that we go in, like in Vietnam, we had a heroin problem suddenly in the U.S. Heroin problem went away for decades. Oh, it was around, but it wasn't prominent. It was more cocaine than anything, really. So the 70s and 80s and 90s, it was cocaine.
Yep.
Then we go into Afghanistan, and what do you know? We have a heroin problem again, like it's growing on trees. Now, you're going to tell me that that's coincidence? One thing that I can tell you, one thing that Mr. Hagman can tell you, there's really no such thing as coincidence. There's not. We are the biggest drug dealers in the United States, or in the world. Not, the United States is the biggest arms dealer and drug dealer in the world. Plain and simple. And we're probably the biggest child trafficking.
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for you to say that.
I hate to say that, but children are porn. I mean, let's look at the honest to God truth here, people. You'll kill them up till the time they're born. You think they give a damn about your children? I'm talking to Democrats that think that the left is looking out for you. Do you think that the government and the people that are saying all these wonderful things to you to get your vote actually give a damn about your children? No. And they're selling. They will sell your children. They will abuse your children. Yeah. Talking. You know, you take like Adam Schiff, for instance, okay? And who's the guy that he was palling around with out there that ended up with like three guys dead in his house over time? Who's that guy? You think that that's a normal relationship for a congressman to have with this individual that keeps having homosexual men show up dead in his house? This isn't like I'm making it up. Nobody can come back at me and go, "Oh, you said something." No, Buck, is that the guy's name?
Yes. Yes, it
Buck.
Is.
Yes. I mean, come on, people. There's depravity all over in our government. And when it comes to the same people that will sell drugs and sell arms, they will sell children. Don't you think for one second they won't? Because these are the same ones that won't hesitate to kill a child in the womb. There's no sanctity of human life with these people.
And you know what, folks, for a homework assignment, and this is, again, this is in the weeds a little bit, but you can search Adam Schiff, Standard Hotel.
Ed Buck.
Right.
Edward Buck.
Yes, thank you. And
don't even say it. Let them put the pieces together. Yeah. We just gave you two names. Enter those two search terms. And do it in Google, you know, lefty-friendly Google. Ed Buck. Adam Schiff, just put those two names in, hit search, you do the reading. We're not going to say another word because we don't want their lawyers calling us.
Believe me, and they will be.
You do your own homework, please. Just stop right now, forget anything else you've heard, and do that, okay? That's just a glimpse. And this is a guy that called out President Trump on everything, lied about him, tried to set him up. And it's always the ones that are screaming the loudest that have the most to hide, because it's that spotlight up here. And as soon as that spotlight shifts around, they're like, "Oh, no, get it off of me. Let's put it on somebody else." Shift is a perfect example of that.
You're right.
He should not be in the legislative house.
You know, just
based on the fact that he is not an honest man, and it's been proven. He still yet has to produce the whistleblowers. Who are these mythical people that he tried to conduct a coup against the president, the duly elected president of the United States? Yet they're the ones saying that Trump was trying to commit a coup against Joe Biden.
Right.
They did the same thing for 4 years.
Incessantly. Yes.
And the thing is, at least when Trump was calling out Biden, he had proof. He had proof. Election fraud, election fraud, election fraud, election fraud, election fraud. We had it on video.
Yep.
Hey, pulling the cases, the boxes out, the suitcases out when everybody left and running the ballots. What more do you need? But they tried to impeach a president on a mythical character. We don't even know who the person was. And you know how Schiff skirted every bit of that? Because never once was he placed under oath.
Yeah, thank you. That's right.
That's exactly how he pulled that off. He worked the system. And so he didn't commit perjury. Nothing we could charge him with. Think about it. He was actually kind of slick. Wrong, but slick. I'll give him that much. But we're on to him.
And you know what? To go back to, I don't mean to kind of cover the previous ground, but I just want to mention this. Right now, there's a bill in Oregon. It's a bill about human composting. All right. I don't know how many people know that Washington State allows for, as an alternative to burial, the practice of human composting.
So you not only plant the tree, you get to be the fertilizer.
Right. Right.
Gotcha.
Okay. Only in the Pacific Northwest, right? Washington, Oregon. Again, all of this ties in.
Oh, brother.
If folks, you remember Pizzagate, and oh my goodness, the outcry, oh, Pizzagate, it's about a pizzeria in Washington, D.C. without a basement and because it, no, and hell no. No, it's bigger than that. It has nothing to do with how it's being portrayed. This goes back to, again, the most, the worst of the worst of the worst out there involving the highest people in government, in Hollywood. And again, you always have to be really careful because the tracks are covered well and they've got high powered attorneys. And, you know, let me tell you what, it's no fun getting sued. It's a full-time job defending yourself, even with a, you know, team of lawyers. So
it's an expensive job.
Very expensive. So, however, the truth is going to come out on this. But you got Planned Parenthood, which you mentioned by suggestion there. You know, in my opinion, you've got these spots. These are sacrifices. All right. And if you think about it in those terms, human sacrifice. Okay. Okay. There's a little bit of a different component to it. And I'm struggling with this because it is a very difficult topic. It is extremely sensitive. And there are a lot of people listening. You know, you don't want to trigger people who are victims of the abuse that we've seen, legitimate victims. I'm not talking about people who make these outrageous claims, and there are plenty of them out there. I'm talking about the real victims. So, and be careful, and folks, lastly, please be careful who you follow. You know, Craig Sawyer took a lot of heat for exposing planted evidence in a camp down in Arizona. Okay. I was right there, not physically with him, but right there with him as they tried to suck him into a situation where evidence was deliberately planted to make something look like it was, you know, make something look like it wasn't, okay? And he outed this group, and for that he paid a, and it still pays a big price. And there are people on the internet, Randy, we really haven't discussed this, you and I, in any meaningful format off air, but I just want to let people know online who are taking Craig to task, or, oh my goodness, you covered this up and you covered that up. Folks, you don't know the half. I mean, you don't even, and Randy Taylor, you know, in a homicide investigation or you know what goes into an investigation like that. Just trust me when I tell you, Craig Sawyer was 100% right, and the flack he took for the event in the past is so unwarranted. It's just incredible. And it cost him, and I'm telling you right now, and we're waiting on a monetary judgment against an individual else outside of the Continental 48, who took Craig, Russ, myself, Steve to task, and you know, he said sue me, and we did, and we're waiting on a monetary judgment on that, so which we'll never see. The reason I brought that up, Randy, is because people have to be really careful of none of this can be overstated unless it's wrong, unless it's incorrect, and then there's a problem.
That makes sense. And we don't just make stuff up.
Thank you.
That's the way, I think that's the best way to portray this. We don't just make stuff up, okay? We're not going to come out and say, you know, such and such about somebody in the government. That's not true. Okay.
I mean, this is horrific enough. You don't have to make it up.
But I mean, we have to have seen some pretty tangible things to make that statement, because we know we'd be setting ourselves up if we don't.
Right.
Okay. And we pay attention to details, like the guy in the plane crash. Why? Because we remember these things. We discussed these things 20 years ago. It was a topic then. Everything is intertwined. And especially 9/11, I will say this, 9/11 put a lot of things together. A lot of bad things came from 9/11, but a lot of good things came from. Doug and I became friends over 9/11. I met my wife because of 9/11. You know what I mean? A lot of things.
And by the way, that's a beautiful story. And you know, our relationship, good things have come out of tragedy.
Out of bad things, yes. Right. You can, and that's really how you look at it, and you have to look at it that way. But 9/11 wasn't a total loss, if that's any consolation to anyone. A lot of good things did come from it, although a lot of bad things. So hopefully the good things are going to overcome and counteract the bad things. What we want to avoid, people, is another 9/11. When I say 9/11, I don't mean Muslims attacking the United States. I'm talking about a questionable event that resulted in infringement on freedoms and liberties. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to go any deeper into that. If you've listened to us for some time, you know our thoughts on 9/11. I'm not going to say I'm here today. Okay? We don't have to. But it's like the Gulf of Tonkin. It's like Pearl Harbor. There's a lot of folks. We're being played.
There you are.
We're constantly being played. And after 9/11, I was so angry, I wanted to kill Saddam Hussein myself. But then when I go back and I look at it, why?
Really?
He didn't attack us.
Or even Osama bin Laden, to the extent that he was portrayed.
We don't know the extent of that. Yeah, we don't know the extent of that either.
Right, right.
We don't know. We saw videos that the rest of the public didn't see of Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan, and I don't think we'll ever know the whole story. I don't think that was I don't think Osama bin Laden was on that plank that went in the water.
Yeah, thank you. And answer a question, because people have to know the backstory, I think. okay, we're not talking out our you know, arses here, okay? when Randy Taylor finds the source of a video upload overseas, like, for example, in Afghanistan or Pakistan, sends it to the FBI. We have it. He sends it to the FBI, and the FBI takes it. And by the way, those links only last, or, you know, the videos only last.
Oh, hours, if that.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, the FBI says, you know, it's classified. Okay, huh?
Yeah. Well, you go to reference to them in a conversation, you go, hey, and on that video, and they go, oh, we can't discuss it. It's classified.
Right.
I gave it to you.
And then, yeah, then you start. What? Then you start putting the pieces together, and you realize, yes. Wait a minute. In retrospect, boy, we're getting hosed. Everybody.
Oh yeah. One of my favorites, Doug, was the pregnant thing where, we had found that deal where the false belly.
Yeah.
You know, where you could put stuff inside the false belly. And so we turned all that in. By the way, we wrote an article about it, turned it in, forgot about it. Actually thought it was kind of amusing.
I still have that on a hard drive.
Yeah. And then like 2 years later, suddenly it's like a hot DHS item. Look, be on the lookout for this. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
What? We people have nothing to do. I mean, we told you this 2 years ago. I mean, it was constant like that. Just constant. And then you try and tell them, look, they're using desktop backgrounds to signal attacks.
Yes.
There's a whole nother story right there. But we knew Mumbai was going to happen, the Mumbai train attack. We just didn't know exactly where. And it was because they were using standard Windows backgrounds, desktop backgrounds, as signals.
Which,
that's a whole show right there.
We're going to have to do that.
We'll have to do that.
You know,
take people inside.
I can't believe, again, the time has flown by. I was given a minute warning, and then I just kind of got lost into that background stuff because I remember that. He's the man. Randy Taylor is the guy. I got to tell you what, folks, you got to sit down with him and have lunch with him one day or coffee.
You're buying.
I will. All right, folks. Randy Taylor, thank you so very much, my friend.
Oh, Doug, this is always fun. Ladies and gentlemen, please, thank you. We got a lot of things to do. We need your financial support.
Yes.
This is serious.
Amen.
We want to get this. We were working on a summit. We've got a lot to do. Thank you for those that are financially supporting us. Please, folks, $1, $2. If everybody chipped in $2, we could have a fantastic summit and we could change history.
Amen, brother. God bless
you. Think about
it. We will see you tomorrow.
Love you, man.
Love you too, brother. Going to be back. Stay right where you're at.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
And welcome back, hour number two of the Hagman Report on this, the second day of March, the year of our Lord 2021. I know Steve Bannon does that, but how appropriate is that, right? America held hostage. What are we now? Day 42 of the communist regime, the coup, America under coup, day 42. And hey, it rhymes. And of course, the communist capital, Fort Pelosi. Marjorie Taylor Greene, as pointed out in the first hour, day 54 of that, looks like the green zone there, right? Resident Biden, if indeed he's even there, anyone home? I don't know. A lot of things happening. Folks, please keep your eyes and ears open. You know, do not, please, folks, do not fall for anything this week at the Capitol. I know there's a lot of sovereign citizen talk. I'm going to come around and tell you it's a bunch of bunk. Don't buy into it. You know, March 4th. Okay. No, no, and no. Just stop it. Okay. There's no one coming to save us. There's no, you know, there's no, Florida White House. That's not how things are working out here. That doesn't mean to give up hope. I'm just being realistic. Okay. So kind of like what we talked about the first hour, the very unpleasant topic and unsettling topic about, human and child sex trafficking, and very unsettling, but the fact of the matter is it's important enough to talk about because it is pervasive, and what this administration, in quotation marks, putative administration did to overturn a lot of what President Trump stopped. But anyway, I don't mean to take into Stan's time. Before I get to Stan Dale, I want to tell you something. Many of you know that my office and parts of the studio were affected by water damage. That was last year. And, of course, this year we had to mitigate some consequential damage from that. So we, you know, for the second time, I think, in the history of this program, we racked up credit card debt. And you look at your statements and you see, my goodness, the average interest rates on the credit card debt is over 17%. And you think, I'm never going to pay these off, okay? Because, you know, businesses, you use a credit card, and like your home, okay? Maybe you, for whatever reason, use credit cards. When you look at all the statements side by side, my goodness, you're paying a ton of money in interest. Well, I've got the perfect solution for you. Pay off all of your credit cards and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates start at just 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. It's a heck of a lot lower than the national average interest rate on credit cards. Plus, the rate's fixed, so it'll never go up during the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees whatsoever, and you could even get your money as the same day that you apply. And, you know, LightStream, they believe that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Now, here's how to get this special offer only available to Hagman Report listeners and viewers. You ready? Just for our listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, two N's on Hagman. Let me spell it out for you. It's LightStream. That's lightstream.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.95% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate does require excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And there you have it, right there on your screen as well, for those watching at home. And also, I want to say this. We've seen such an increase, and this speaks to Stan Dale. Stan Dale is got one of the most brilliant minds I know, okay? And he along with some others, created EMP Shield, all right? Now, we know we're hearing rumblings, Iran, for example, our enemies, North Korea and others, and even the sun, okay, can take out our power grid. Well, don't let that take out your electronics at home. EMP Shield is the answer for that, because when the grid does come back up, or if parts of the grid are only affected, or whatever the case might be, EMP Shield is there to help you. And this is a brilliant, in my view, a brilliant piece of equipment that'll protect your electronics, it'll protect your home, your office, your vehicle. Go to empshield.com/Hagman or empshield.com and use the promo code Hagman, two N's on Hagman, for $50 off. This is something that you really need. Hey, if you've got a birthday, anniversary coming up, what better anniversary gift can you give to your wife? I mean, imagine her excitement. Or, okay, imagine his excitement. There you go. I'd be excited, right? Eric the Tech, I know, is excited all the time about this. EMP Shield. EMPShield.com, code Hagman, $50 off. All right, with that, Stan Dale, StanDale.com. And one more thing about Stan Dale, who had a birthday like a couple of weeks ago. Did you wish him a happy birthday? I asked you to. Did you wish him a happy birthday? Stan at StanDale.com. Happy belated. Turned 39? Anyway, he's a good-looking guy. Join his Patreon. Become a patron of Stan and Holly Dale. Go to StanDale.com, click on the link, and sign up, because he will teach you things that you wished your college professor would have taught you, or tell you things that you wished you would have known before. That's Stan Dale. Stan, how are you, sir?
Oh, good. Thank you for that. You know, I do enjoy teaching. I did teach at Curtin University down in Perth in Australia years ago, and it was a computer class and graphics and whatever, but I loved working with my students and watching them learn and just kind of blossom into great graphic designers. And so it's kind of carried over here now. Holly gets information for me and then I teach it, but she and I are a team that make these classes fun. Sometimes.
You know, that's it. And you make things understandable that to me, I was really never that great in physics and stuff like that. But boy, I'll tell you what, you make things understandable for the average person, and I appreciate that. And Holly does a wonderful job in taking care of your headlines, and as well as Dare to Prepare. If you don't have that book, folks, you got to get that book because time is short. Dare to Prepare. That's the ultimate guide to prep, to home preps. So there you go.
She started as a teenager, believe it or not, in Kansas, collecting all this kind of information on what you need to prepare for, mainly for storms and things. But it progressed over the years, and when we got married, she continued it and started a newsletter, kind of community newsletter, and people started feeding her information about how they prepared for this and that and what had happened, which eventually formed her book, the Dare to Prepare book, which you're talking about. It's in the morning I get up here, and when my eyes are kind of still opening up and a cup of coffee is shaking in the hand, she says, "And here are today's news headlines." I'm thinking, oh, boy.
She's on like hour number four while you're just getting your cup of coffee, right?
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right. And so knowing that, she repeats it a little bit later in the day. I said, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." She's, "Yeah, well, I told you that this morning." I'm thinking, oh, boy. Yes, anyway, but today, there were a lot of things that you talk about in physics that I read in the news over the last couple of days in relation to the universe and parallel universes and virtual realities and stuff. And what I got out of it was something I'm not going to try to explain in detail because I had trouble understanding it, about the way they're deciding whether the universe is real or a virtual reality in some, heavenly computer. There's a lot of mumbo jumbo in there. And at the end of it, they say, well, it's a 50-50 chance we are and that we are not, that we're just real. This wasn't a Christian website, obviously. But the object of it did turn us away from believing in a creator. It was science, and science itself is stumped about what formed our universe and are there parallel universes or concentric ones and things like that. So that one, I'm just going to make that brief mention about, is that there's a strong movement in the scientific community to get rid of God. And one of the things Holly was telling me this morning over coffee, early today, she said, look at the Pope. He's even saying that the flood didn't happen. And, it's this Pope is really bad news. I don't know how the parishioners or the believers in the Catholic Church don't just get rid of him. I mean, vote him out or something if they can do that, because the things he's been saying are just not what a leader of the Christian world, or at least the Catholic Christian world, should be saying. And I hearken back to a number of people that have said, you know, like people that comment on prophecies and things, that the Pope this Pope is going to be leading the sheep astray. On our news page there, standale.com, under faith, you go down almost to the end of the page, and you'll see that the Pope doesn't want to believe God's word in Genesis, and, you know, the worldwide flood really didn't happen, that kind of stuff. But, you know, she put a note there saying, yeah, okay, the flood is reported in all these cultures and religions, not just Judaism or Christianity, yet this Pope is saying, don't believe in the flood stuff. Well, you know, I've found the evidence of what caused the great flood, where the asteroid or, you know, comet, whatever it was, hit the earth on the east coast of India. And, you know, I've been able to prove that that triggered a great worldwide rainstorm, which had never happened before because it boiled the seas and the vapor went up into the upper atmosphere, got cooled, and started to form, the first time ever, clouds and rainbow formed after it was over. And, you know, I can prove that scientifically, yet here they are trying to tell us from the Vatican that this flood didn't take place. I'm dealing with scientists over in the west coast of Australia at the university there, locating the great asteroids or comets that impacted there, causing a lot of damage on the west coast of Australia. And in Indonesia, it broke it up and it put 2 miles of sea sediment back at the backwash over Oman in the Saudi Peninsula. You know, I mean, these are scientists. One says, you've got the wrong asteroid location. And the other one says, yeah, okay, maybe we'll have to test the age of the soil at that place. So some of the scientific community is actually being open to this. Oh, boy. You know, I tell you, right now, when the people of the United States and Christians all over the world and almost Christians who need to be are worrying about their future, you know, the economically, militarily, you know, nuclear war and that kind of stuff, food and famine, disease, it's a time for them to look on our Patreon channel, on our YouTube channels about my discovery of the Garden of Eden, the lecture about it. You can even still get it off of our website in the shopping cart. And it's the Garden of Eden is and was real. It the location was in the Ngorongoro Plateau, as I discuss, and I give all the scientific reasons why, you know, how I tracked it down. And if people that are marginal on believing and following Jesus or not, if they would read or watch that that video, they would see that the faith is based upon reality, that the Genesis account is history. It's not myth, like, you know, the Pope is trying to say. There is a real Garden of Eden. It's not as, you know, nice as it was when Adam and Eve were there. But anyway, I digress. That was, you know, my beef this morning to my news brief from the chief here.
Well, you did a great job on the Garden of Eden documentary, investigative report, as I like to call it, because when I went through it, you know, and, yeah, I'd sign off on that investigative report in a heartbeat. I mean, I think you're dead on accurate on that.
Maybe. Well, it's important, you know, if you prove to people that are, you know, kind of confused about whether the Bible is correct or not, if you prove to them, hey, it does exist, and the rest of the Bible, therefore, can probably be trusted as fact, then it makes, you know, their conversion to, you know, to being saved a lot easier. And that's what I tried to do with that, and even discovering the Atlantis, which is Saudi Arabia, where the crossbreeding of humans, you know, from the Garden of Eden breed with fallen ones, with fallen angels. I mean, the DNA mix is there. So to me, that's extremely important that people know that it did exist and it wasn't just myth. I mean, even Islam talks about the Garden of Eden. They yeah. believe it. You know, anyway,
you know,
I digress.
I'm not sure that it's a digression, because the crossbreeding of humans, to the extent that it happened in the bloodlines right now, that's topical for today, the bloodlines. I mean, that's all I'll say. I won't go again, get into the weeds on that, but people can do the research on this, and I'll tell you something. It's topical, it's germane, and it's important for people to understand, because what we're seeing, happening today, in my view, is really this, the attempt to recreate the obviously Babylon, one world order, that type, you know, the one world government, obviously the attempt to recreate this. And they've come right out and said that, they're trying to, a leader trying to be gods, small g gods, and essentially live forever. And they're doing it through manipulation or AI and manipulation of, their genetics and such. And it does have its roots, or I don't know if that's what you'd call it, in that the fallen ones. And maybe that's a clumsy way of equating what you were talking about, but I mean, I understand it, so I'm okay with that.
You know, Doug, that reminds me of a question I've kind of had in the back of my mind for years when I, you know, tried to look at the facts in the Bible and Genesis. And one of them was, okay, if the fallen angels from the heavens came down to earth and they were able to mate with our women and produce the Nephilim and that sort of stuff, you know, the hybrids, they must have had sexual organs, right, to be able to reproduce with human women.
Now, I would think, yeah.
Okay, but now in the Bible it says there will be no giving and taking in marriage, but in the heavens, those of us that are fortunate enough to go up there and ascend in the rapture, you know, maybe we won't be married, but will we still have those organs? And why would we have them if we're not reproducing? Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
A gray area to me. I don't understand that. Maybe some of our listeners do, but. What do you think?
That's a tough one. I mean, I don't think. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
All right. Next thing, quickly here. Holly played a video for me. We watched it together. It's just about 13 or 14 minutes, I think. In our prophecy section on standale.com, it's in the lower left, down toward the very bottom. There are some links there, prophetic links, about the near future for the United States, and two of them anyway. Worth your listen. This lady is kind of underscoring by prophetic you know, vision that she's been given what, you know, Babylon the Great, what Richard Combs wrote about America being Babylon, modern Babylon, and, you know, how it's going to be destroyed. But hers is more current, you know, revelation in prophecy from God. And I listened to it, you know, with, a very critical ear just to be sure that she wasn't, you know, lightweight. But the thing she's talking about, America is going to be destroyed, just utterly destroyed. I mean, one of the things that I heard her say, if I understand it correctly, is that when America's destroyed by, you know, rocks, asteroids, meteorites falling down and destroying much of the country and, you know, the invasion, that there will be people in that time that are supposed to be dead, you know, supposed to have been killed by a lot of this stuff, who will walk around because they can't find death. And it reminded me of this, you know, the sci-fi stuff about, you know, zombies. I used to laugh at that, but I'm wondering if it's because the Lord won't let them die, that they have to live in those bodies that are wounded and whatever, and not suffer death, and they will all want to die, but they can't. You know, I'm having to rethink a number of things when I hear this kind of stuff, but it's worth listening to her, the videos there under the prophecy section on our
homepage. Got three entries under prophecy that I can see here, okay? Can you direct me to which one that is?
Yeah, just a second. I'm trying to look at it here. Let's see. Is it that one? No, it's not the first one.
I'm kind of thinking the third one, but I could be wrong.
I'm thinking that's probably it too. Let me just double check that. I'm linking to it now. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, yeah. That even talks about what Kamala Harris may be taking the reins shortly.
Right.
What an interesting video it was.
Actually, so the reason I asked this, I watched that video over the weekend. Okay. And it's very interesting. I received, I don't know, probably three, four, maybe five emails telling me to watch this video from people I didn't know, and I did, and it makes some interesting, I don't want to say predictions, but interesting, yeah, you start thinking about things that were mentioned within that video.
I better go over it with a fine tooth comb myself, but it certainly paralleled a lot of the things that the Bible talks about for the destruction of the modern Babylon, and what Richard Coombs talked about in his work on America, the Babylon. So it's worth a look at it and a think about, I think is the best way to say it.
You know, when I watched it, I was thinking about the headlines, the Equality Act, and really what that's all about. It's not really about women's sports, and it's about the debasement of our morality, and you look at the government when you've got Cousin It as the Assistant Secretary of Health. A science-denying individual can't decide, male or female, despite being born with male organs. I mean, I'm not trying to be, you know, funny or and then you see human composting. I mean, my goodness, human composting. The Oregon is the second state, Washington the first. Considering that, I guess, in a sense, maybe that's not as offensive as everything else. But, so why wouldn't America suffer the fate of judgment for what we're doing? You know, in addition to killing the unborn and the, you know.
Earlier today, did you look at the thing that Holly had up about the Den of Disgust, new startup to make salami from celebrity parts?
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes. Which we had talked about this briefly on a different program or a different episode of this show. I'm trying to, in my mind, what's the attraction of that? I mean,
well, it's it's the trendy people, I guess. Maybe. I mean,
aside from maybe the obvious. When I say the obvious, I don't even want this. Cannibalism, I guess. You know, that's what is that not what we're talking about? Plain and simple.
Yeah. It's a kind of cannibalism, because what they do is they extract cells, in this case, from some, well-known person, actor, actress, whatever, and they put it into a laboratory petri dish, and they grow from that celebrity tissue sample. They grow, you know, a large chunk of artificial them, you know, their muscle tissue. And then they grind it up and, you know, mix it with other things. It's about 30% of this celebrity meat, and then the rest of it's other normal meat and stuff like that. But I wonder about the wisdom of this in so many areas, because if you're taking cells from a person that maybe is undiagnosed for, you know, the whirling dervish disease, Crutchfield disease, and you eat that flesh that's even artificially grown but has the same DNA profile, will it transfer some of that stuff to your DNA, to your body?
I didn't actually think about that, but good point. Gives a whole new meaning to the phrase "bite me," but I mean, sometimes you just have to, you know, try to be funny. But my goodness, this is
it's like Soylent Green, where they ate the wafers from the dead bodies, you know, and they made wafers out of them, fed them to people, Remember in the news here over the last few years, people have had heart transplants, liver transplants, things like that. They sometimes take on some of the characteristics of the donor.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And so if you're eating this artificial or lab-grown meat from people, then are you going to take on some of their characteristics? Is it going to change your hormone levels? Is it, you know, what? It's a fad, obviously, but it's crazy. It's just crazy.
Well, you know, it's The way I look at it is they want to mainstream or normalize cannibalism. They really do. I mean, there's no other way to look at this, in my view. When I studied the forensics of the Dahmer case, for example, things that people don't even that don't know. I mean, cannibalism and I'll just leave it there. But yeah, this is something far beyond what people think it is. I guess that's the whole thing. I mean, today's program has really been a kind of a heady program for me, given the fact that we were talking the first hour about pedophilia, which is just a horrible, and child trafficking and such, smuggling, you know, and cannibalism, and here it is.
Here it is. You can go to their website. Holly has a link to that Bite Labs website, and they show you pictures of this "quote unquote" artificial meat sausage, salami made from human DNA plus some other meats that they mix in with it. It's just she put a title on it. It's right, the Den of Disgust. I mean, when we saw this yesterday and talked about it, I kept shaking my head. Yuck,
You remember, I don't want to belabor this, but you remember, Marina Abramovic, and the pictures of people, at tables, live people, models in these cases where their heads are sticking up and, through the tables. And then next to them, there'll be a cake or whatever in the form of a human. That people will go in or whatever, and take, chop up and eat. There's no words. I'm going to shut up now because I can't even, if the level of evil that we are experiencing today has got to rival what biblical Sodom, Gomorrah. I mean, it's got to rival that.
Yeah. In the scriptures too, maybe it was in the book of Enoch. Yeah, I think it was. The offspring of the fallen ones and human women, the giants, they had double rows of teeth and they started eating normal humans. I mean, they were cannibals. So when you hear this kind of topic coming up in the news and things, even though it's kind of sideways to it, it makes you wonder if the same evil source, Satan and his minions, isn't trying to condition people to get ready for what's coming. Maybe they're going to have some more, quote unquote giants arrive when they have this great deception land on the planet. Time's got to be close for that anyway. It's just, so many evil things are happening.
Yes.
And did you discuss earlier in the show today about, the border issue, the incredible influx of illegal,
just briefly touched on it, but not to the extent that it needs to be discussed.
Yeah. Well, again, we have on Holly's news today there, let's see what section is that. It's on borders. There's a number of it. They're telling about how many migrants, like 800,000 to a million are coming here every year. And that's on top of the 4,000 illegals that push through the borders every day. Something has to be done right now to stop these crazy policies from Biden. And, well, Tom Homan, he was a former head of ICE.
Yeah,
he and I are linked on LinkedIn, so we share the same things, same ideas. But at some point, we're not going to be able to wait until 2 years to elect and reform the Congress and the Senate. Something has to be done before that time, and it's going to come to a head sooner than later.
What form do you see that happening? How do you see that taking? I mean, how would reform? I don't even know how to phrase the question, but how would you see that happen?
Well, George Soros, we know what an evil character he is, and he goes into countries to overthrow them, put in his governments, his puppets, by creating division among the people. And everything that's happening right now is pushing the right and the left, more the right than anything, you know, in our conservative views, but extreme conservatism being pushed so that it needs a trigger, just a spark, to start armed conflict within the country, getting rid of some of these left-wing ideas and people. Now, I foresee, you know, just kind of guessing logically, that these people will start an armed civil war requiring martial law. Now, when that happens, we're going to have, like, National Guard, so that, you know, we're not violating posse comitatus from Washington anyway. But then what's going to happen when the regular military says, right, you know, forget this. We're going to step in and you know, quieten the nation by arresting people that are terrorists and whatever. The leadership of this country will probably shift from Biden to Kamala Harris, and that's going to be an absolute disaster. So in that confusion, there are going to be forces moving to alleviate the problem, stopping the border, you know, illegal immigration, trying to deal with those that have gotten through that are known terrorists and criminals, and putting them back into prison or whatever. I suspect Guantanamo will get real crowded. But between now and the end of this year, maybe even between now and the summertime, I could see, you know, civil disorder, disobedience, civil war even starting. People are just going to have enough. But then I hearken back to the fact that George Soros, that's the way he does this when he takes over a country. The United States, in the left, you know, socialist communist idea, has to be taken down. And they've raped us for all the technology and patents and, you know, food and all kinds of stuff, and sent us a pathogen, you know, pandemic to start killing off our numbers and making everybody be locked up or, you know, masked up. And so when you put all these things together, the people themselves of this country are going to determine what happens next. And, you know, we can't stop that. And unfortunately, if you don't do anything, we're going to be overthrown and be a communist nation. So,
you know, this might be somewhat not quite consistent, or it might be a little bit off of what you were saying. But, you know, I look at what happened on January 6th of this year at the nation's capital, and the way it's portrayed on the news is not how I know it to be how it happened. You had, in my personal view, based on what I've seen, you had groups of people singing Christian hymns and national hymns in Washington, okay, as they were marching from President Trump's speech to the Capitol. Not the ones taking, busting up the Capitol. I'm talking about the true patriots. But I'm looking at this more of a spiritual experience, a spiritual pilgrimage and religious spiritual. I prefer spiritual. Among the people who were there. Now, the reason I say that, it was almost like a revival kind of atmosphere there. The reason I bring this up is because that, to me, the spiritual aspect is the missing component here. We need to, I'm not sure where I was going with it, except to say that we need to get the spiritual component right, you know, above nationalism or concurrent with nationalism, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure where I was going with all that, but
yeah, I understand.
I'm sure, I had a thought there, but it escapes me.
If it comes back, just butt in and say, "Okay, I found a thought."
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's.
Oh, look. Believe me, I'm a few years ahead of you age-wise, and those thoughts do frequently disappear. You think, oh, that was, what was that about? Oh, yeah, okay, no, and it's gone. So do the best you can, and maybe it'll trigger as we talk.
Well, you know, this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to blame you, because the stuff that you talk about and mention is so deep. It has many facets and components to the things that you talk about, which is why, again, folks, you gotta become patrons of Stan and Holly Dale class meetings. I love it. So, support them on Patreon. And, of course, his lectures series of all of it. And Dare to Prepare, Cosmic Conspiracy. Get it all, folks. StanDale.com. So thank you for that. We got about 9 minutes. I can't believe if time flies. 9 minutes.
Really? Left. Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, so on our show images page, slide 37, it's about a magnetic pole shift plus solar activity. A global environmental crisis has begun. And this is on Electroverse, which you can see if you click on that link, talking about the flipping of the magnetic poles and what it may cause, you know, when the last time it happened. And it doesn't usually occur, you know, in a second or a minute or an hour. This could take months to years for the complete polar reversal to happen. But this article covers the history of it as far as they can determine. And we're seeing a modern, you know, like a current entry into that as the Earth's magnetic field weakens drastically. So read that article. There are things happening, like in slide 38. If you just look at the picture even, you'll see that there's been like a storm, like a hurricane spin in the electrons coming from the sun. And if you click on the article and then see it, it's called a space hurricane. Now, for years, I've talked about landicanes, where hurricanes that are normal, you know, over the ocean suddenly become so strong that they and the climate belt shifts that it would produce hurricanes over land that wouldn't just go away, because normally the drag of the Earth's surface slows down a hurricane and it dissipates over land. But I see this one with electrons coming from the sun creating this vortex. You can see it in the picture. There you go. You know, we're seeing these cyclonic events, whether it be in electrons from the sun, the solar wind, or whether it be from, you know, the waterborne, you know, heat engines that create the normal hurricanes that we talk about. These things are now happening. And in slide 39 in the picture, you can see how the electrons are producing these storms and, you know, causing this tremendous vortex of electrons. This is just the beginning. I think we're going to see a lot more of these cyclonic or like toroidal spins in the environment in our weather. Now, we're getting warmer. We're getting warmer, you know, on the planet. And on the east coast of the United States, coming down from, you know, Central America or into the South Atlantic, when it comes up, it's what's called the Gulf Stream. And you can look at pictures of the Gulf Stream in 46 through 48, showing the path of it and how it normalizes the temperature between the oceans and ocean levels by this current flowing. But it's getting worse. It's getting warmer. And clicking on, let's say, 42 on the picture, you'll see two pictures in there, global sea surface temperature and then the anomaly, the temperature anomaly. Look at the top map and zoom it up and look off the east coast of the United States and Canada. Just, click on that, those dark spots up there near, oh, wow. Yeah, I guess you have to scoot to it there. Yeah, right. Now, the Gulf Stream goes from those four dark spots, those very hot spots, all the way down toward Florida normally. But the report is saying that I've got there, the report is saying that as this increases the heat on it, it's going to create, believe it or not, a diversion of that, and it's going to cause a rise in sea level on our east coast up to maybe 20 inches or more, which is going to ruin a lot of, flood a lot of homes and cities on the east coast over the next 10, 15, 20 years. Now, the graphs over there at slide 40 address that as well. The Gulf Stream is a very important driver to our climate or our weather here on the United States. We're going to see over a period of years the gradual freezing of more of the northeast United States as the polar vortex tilts and comes down over our New England states and down to Florida even. Florida could actually be mostly underwater if this trend continues, because it could go to as much as 8 feet if you can see the text in slide 40 and then click on the article and read about it. So I see these things, the drought, the heat in one part and the cold in another, are going to be the new norm for the United States. And of course, this will affect other continents and countries as well, changing their weather.
But this is not man-made climate change. This is not.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No, they say that in the article, but it's not. No.
Right. Right. Okay. Because, I mean, the eradication or alleged attempted eradication of, gas-powered vehicles, you're talking about something much bigger than this. Okay. All right.
Well, and the sun, in my opinion, you know, the sun is the major driver between, you know, for these changes. The slides 44 and 45, they show pictures of the sun today, which I downloaded earlier today. And like slide 44, click on the picture and you'll see some coronal holes, these dark spots. And on the edge of them, you'll see a bright, you know, active area on the sun. And these are like great chasms that are emitting solar wind. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, tomorrow morning or even later tonight, we would see a coronal mass ejection come from that hot spot there. We're certainly getting more solar wind out of it. But the sun itself is, the surface of it is becoming, you know, very thin and chaotic. And it's allowing this stuff to open up, you know, the surface open up and shoot, you know, various frequencies at us and particles as part of the solar wind, which affects our weather greatly. And if you click out of that one and go over to the picture, slide 45, you'll see this shows the magnetic field lines coming out of the sun. Well, where are they coming out? Not just from that bright spot, but from those coronal holes as well. You can just see them. They're just, you know, this is affecting our weather and our climate. So I don't buy into the argument that we've got a problem with, you know, cow gas and car emissions and stuff like that. The solution to it proposed by the left socialist communist, it's just devastating. It doesn't work. And they don't do the numbers on producing, you know, manufacturing electric cars, electric power stations and all that kind of stuff. It won't work. What will work if they do manage to take over this country is they'll make ICLEI cities, you know, the concentrated city living, and move people out of the countryside into the city. And then they can have control over electric communal vehicles and control over your life entirely as well.
Yeah.
Slide 43 is another one to look at. How much time we got now?
Eric, 2 minutes.
2 minutes. All right. Well, yeah, we'll look at the cracks in the Earth's magnetic field article from NASA.
Okay.
This is very important as well, looking at cracks in our magnetic field, you know, gaps that occur, allowing, you know, the radiation from the sun and from deep space, you know, cosmic radiation to enter into the Earth's lower atmosphere. And that's what's producing some of those storms that we're talking about up at the polar vortex there, where you have the spin of the electric particles coming from the sun. They look like a cyclone of electrons and particles coming in the solar wind. These things, these cracks are appearing because our field is weakening. Our magnetic field is weakening. There's so many things. And if you look at slide 50, the picture of that quickly, the North Atlantic named storms, if you see that blue line from 1850 to now, you'll see that there is an increase, a definite increase on, you know, the cyclone energy, you know, the hurricane energy. You can see the curve is up. It's not going down. And if you look over slide 49's picture, you see the hurricane, in addition to the named storms, the hurricanes are the, let's see here, linear energy. Yeah, the kind of light gray is energy per hurricanes. And you can see even that is going up on a gradual curve from 1850 to now. So these are scientific things that people can relate to and see that we are in a progression of changes in our whole global climate, which is going to affect everything, even worse than pandemics. So,
wow. Folks, go to standeo.com, bookmark that website, and check out the show images page. I've got to tell you, the articles, the images, they're rich and they're informative, and you need to know this. Stan, I want to thank you so much, and our time is never enough together, but thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate Holly, and thank you for all you do. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. Got to say good night. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your support. Appreciate that. Again, we love you. Have a good night.